This is the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. Oh, another weather protocol game going on in the CFL right now between the Elks and the Tiger Cats. 30 seconds left in the third quarter, lightning within 10 kilometers of the stadium. And that, because it's official now, it's 7.5 point in the third quarter, a one-hour delay and the game is supposed to be called. We are 5 minutes away from that.
Mm.
And the lightning is just getting closer to Commonwealth Stadium. Now, in a half an hour, this system might be moved out of Edmonton. So we'll see. Now, when did they start the clock? When all the players left the field?
Yeah, they're going to wiggle as much as they can out of it, Jamie. But
we start the protocol when...
Whoever the last player that came in.
There's still a guy standing on the middle.
If the O-line is dollar-letting to go in.
They probably still left a player out on the 25-yard line.
I think Bo and Kenny Lawler sat there for another 10 minutes looking at the iPad.
Well, the fans are still out there, and it's raining pretty hard, though, still, but in Edmonton.
We'll keep you up to date. It's a tie game. It would end in a tie, 21-21, with the Elks and the Tiger Cats. But let's find out who's going to eat for the Riders and the Alouettes.
Who's going to eat with Belton Johnson?
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Each and every week, we look at the matchups we like best on who's got the best one for who's going to eat. And we turn to Belton Johnson.
Let's start with the Alouettes, Jamie.
Which side of the ball?
Offense.
Offensive side for the Montreal Alouettes.
I was prepared to take Philpott, and I knew he was out. Then I was prepared to take Austin Mack, and he's out. So now I'm left with the third option there.
Who you got?
Tyler Snead, man.
You're going to go with Tyler Snead.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
All righty. Tyler Snead. Daryl.
Well, you can't run against this Rough Rider defense. That was the key last week. Mm-hmm. You know what? We've been talking about sacks and how well they played defensively. Their blitzes and their defense held the Elks to 25 rushing yards.
That's crazy.
That's really impressive, and that's what made that defensive performance so strong and allowed them to get to quarterback, to get to Cody Fajardo so much. I like Cole Speaker. I think number 17, their other receiver. Yeah. I know he's not listed as a starter, but he gets in a lot. And he's become one of those guys who steps in when Philpott and Mack are missing from that lineup.
I'm going to go with somebody who I think will want to prove themselves. Cut from BC. He was cut from, I think, Edmonton, or like he was around, bumped around.
I know.
Alexander Hollins. For the Montreal Alouettes offense is where I'm going. And it's on the opposite side from where Roland Milligan roams in the Canadian Football League. Belton, where do you want to go to next?
Let's go to the Rider defense.
Jamie. Riders defense. Who's eating, Belton?
I'm going to go with Mr. Allen. He's impressed me probably the last 2-3 games here.
A.J. Allen?
Yep. Yeah, he's impressed me, man. Yeah.
I thought C.J. Avery was going to have a breakout season, and now when he's healthy in a couple of weeks, it'll be interesting to see how they fit this roster around.
Because Avery's American and Allen's Canadian. Yep. And Allen's played exceptionally well.
What do you got, Daryl Davis?
I think I'm just going on a hunch here because the other three defensive linemen got two sacks each last time, and I was kind of joking. What happened to Mike Rose? He's a great player. I think Mike Rose will get free a couple of times today and sack McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Okay, you're going with Mike Rose. That offensive line with the Alouettes is pretty good. Yeah. So. I am going to go with, what did I get for, I didn't really give him stats to eat. Okay, C.J. Revis. I'll go C.J. Revis.
That's not a bad pick either, man.
Coming off the edge maybe on some blitzes, as he did last year, and Davis Alexander got around him. McLeod Bethel Thompson's not going to scoot around him if that's the opportunity. Belton, where are we heading to next on who's going to eat?
Let's go Rider offense, Jamie.
Who's eating for the Riders?
Give me Ouellette, give them to me.
You think they're running today?
They have to run. They have to. Boy.
You were talking earlier about how the receiving corps, you know, Johnson's had a big game. Mm-hmm. Myers had a big game. Mm-hmm. You know, Duncan Busby's had a pretty big game. Robustelli. And so is Robustelli. I think Robustelli again because I think he's going to have to fight off Sean Bain Jr., right, who wants that position, and I think they're going to need him again. I know it's a tough throw out there, but Robustelli's had played pretty well, and I think that he's going to be a great valve for them, outlet valve for them.
I am going to go with Myers. I want to go with Keyshawn Johnson, but Sutton is a real good player. Maybe Myers can break through on the field side for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I'll go with Donta Myers for the Rough Riders as we wrap up with that Alouettes defense. Belton, who do you think is going to eat for the Alouettes defense?
All of them. Sankey. Darnell Sankey, former Rider. They have a great defense.
I want to pick like 3-4 of the guys, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm looking at, Belton. The same thing. Yeah, man. There's so many guys who are capable of turning this game around.
It is.
Sankey as much as anybody. But I think Beverett is one of the great players in the game today in the CFL. Number 26, outside linebacker.
Okay. I am going with... I have to always look at the name before I say it. Isaac Ademi-Berglund is where I'm going on who's going to eat the defensive end. I know they've been okay with keeping Trevor Harris on his feet, but they do a lot of different blitz packages with Noel Thorpe, one of the better coordinators.
I thought you would have picked Lemon for some reason.
Not a chance. It's his first game back.
That's a little dig. Good dig, Belton.
He's gonna. How many snaps is he gonna play today? He can only play 23. He's the designated nationalized American. Nationalized American. So he's only gonna play a handful of snaps.
Yeah. I think he's teasing you, Jamie. It's just a guess on that one.
What were you, Jamie?
Fire him up. I'm gonna go, Belton.
All right. I'm going to take a little pause here on the Green Zone pregame show because it's the tailgating tip time. Over to Darrell Davis and Belton Johnson.
What we got today, Jamie?
He's pouting.
All right. Sean Lemon.
Sorry, Jim.
Go ahead, Belton.
All right.
What's your keyword this week was pork, right?
There. What did Robin make for us today, Belton?
Stinger.
What we got today, fellas? Pulled pork sliders.
Yeah.
Right? So, and to make the pulled pork sliders, I had a pork shoulder there, right? Get the smoker going, 225, with the pork shoulder, you know, covered it in mustard. And then seasoned the pork shoulder, covered every
nook and cranny.
There we go. There,
I was ready.
Got it all covered up there, and threw it on the smoker there for probably what 4 hours or so, just to absorb that smoke and everything. And once it after the first 4 hours there, pulled it off, put it in an aluminum pan, and I like to use apple juice. So poured apple juice in there in the pan.
Sweetens it a little bit.
And covered it up with foil and everything. Put it back on the smoker. Cranked the temperature up on the smoker to about, 250 degrees or so. And, you know, let it go for another 7-8 hours. And after that, the pulled pork or the shoulder was done. Pulled it off. Pulled the shoulder and everything. And I'd like to... put some of the juices back in there, right? That apple juice and everything has the rub season I use. Put a little bit more of that on and a little bit of barbecue sauce. Got it all mixed together. The pulled pork was ready. After the pulled pork there, used my mom's recipe for coleslaw and everything, which I won't give that one away, but
secret.
Used the Hawaiian buns. I don't know. I like those Hawaiian buns, right? I know we did the tri-tip sliders last week, and I was like, man, I'm on a roll with the sliders here. Let's keep this going. And so used the Hawaiian buns there, layered on the pulled pork, a little bit more barbecue sauce, topped it with the coleslaw, and then just the top of the bun there. And that's what we got for you here today, Darrell. Pulled pork sliders. And after everything was done, Darrell, and everything is done.
It's eating time.
There we go, Darryl.
All right. I'm good. Where do you do your shopping?
Huh?
Where do you do your shopping?
Oh, Sherwood, man. Yeah, Sherwood. Oh, I had to. Right. It's right around the corner from the house there. Perfect. Like, just drive down, Rochdale there, and boom, it's right there, man.
Perfect.
There you go. There's the tailgating tip. Some pulled pork sliders here in the Green Zone. The CFL just announced the players are going to take to the field for a 15-minute warm-up in Edmonton.
They're extending the stay, eh, David?
Right now, they're supposed to be going out right now for a 4:30 resumption of play.
Interesting.
I'm looking at the radar, and Environment Canada does show lightning on their radar. I'm curious on how they think this is 10 kilometers away from the stadium all of a sudden.
Jamie, I told you.
But in about 10 minutes, it probably will be 10 kilometers away from the stadium. So they're maybe stretching the rule just a little bit to get this game underway.
We thought they might do that.
So it'll resume in a tie, 21-21, the Elks and the Tiger Cats. But this is the pregame show ahead of the Riders and the Montreal Alouettes. Scheduled kickoff at 5 o'clock. Might be a little bit of a delay now with this game going on in Edmonton with the Tiger Cats and the Elks. But a 5 o'clock scheduled kickoff in Montreal between the Riders and the Alouettes. And coming up next, we'll hear from the head coach, Corey Mace, from the coach's chair on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show as we're getting you set for the 6-1 Riders against the 5-2 Montreal Alouettes on this Saturday. Bit of a doubleheader as the Elks and the Tiger Cats, they're just warming up, getting to go at about 4:30 Saskatchewan time is when they're going to resume play in a 21-21 tie, an hour-long delay because of lightning near Edmonton. But right now, let's go to the coach's chair.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
As we begin the coach's chair with head coach Corey Mace, he was asked on what makes McLeod Bethel-Thompson a special quarterback.
Clearly athleticism. I'm seeing him hurdle that Dozier. I love it. Mac is he's the man. You know, he's been around, played a lot of football. I've seen a lot of stuff up here, obviously. Been in winning environments. You know, so certainly he can bring that to the locker room. You know, he's a guy that he puts a lot of pressure on himself to meet his own standard, to be a guy for the team. So, you know, nothing but good things to say about Mac, man. It's enjoyed my time working alongside him.
Is it an advantage for you that you've schemed against him in practice before that time in Toronto there? Does he have an advantage against you because he's seen your defense a little bit more? Is there any sort of that?
Yeah, I think maybe it's a wash, you know what I mean? You know, certainly spending time with him, knowing things that he likes to do, things he can see. And but, you know, he's in a different system, and, you know, you don't know how the coaching differs, you know, what is what you know, Jason's telling him as opposed to RD or Mike Miller or something like that. So you know, we just got to go out there and, you know, obviously see what we see on film and then be able to adjust in game if things change. So that's the name of the game, so we'll see.
Corey, what's made Montreal just so tough to play in for anyone who travels out there?
Yeah, I wish I knew. You know, they have a really good atmosphere. You know, their fan base comes out to support the team. I mean, they're a good team. So, I mean, no matter where you play, you know, you're always in for kind of a tough battle versus those guys. But specifically there, you know, it's always, in my recent memory, I don't remember, regardless of what team, you know, we were with, it always ends up being a tough place to play.
What's made their defense so successful early this season? What have you noticed as a defensive coordinator yourself?
Yeah, no, they're well coached, obviously. You know, they try to take away things that the teams are really good at. And they're fast as ever. They're relentless to the football. They do a good job causing turnovers, causing confusion. They beat protections. And they got enough guys in the back end that can cover a lot of ground as well. You know, so they do a good job. I think relentless is probably a word that I would use to identify their defense, man. They're just, I think at all three levels, they move fast and they work together as a defense.
What's allowed Snead to have so much success there this season? He's one of the league's leading receivers.
Yeah, you know, it's good that the kid's starting to get a little bit of love. I think you know, throughout the last, you know, couple years, specifically last year, you could see that he's a playmaker, man. And, you know, maybe just being there and being a security blanket for the quarterbacks over there. But, you know, other than that, you know, he works his tail off. He's not the biggest guy, but he's, you know, you got a big heart. You could tell by that, by watching the film, and been a reliable guy for him. So, certainly, you know, it's caught our attention, no doubt. But they've got a lot of other good players.
A lot of fans are wondering if there's an update on the timeline for Kean Schaefer-Baker and when we might be able to see him back out here.
Yeah, you know, the plan is that he's going to play at some point this season until we've been told otherwise, but that has not been the conversation. It's awesome seeing him, you know, walking around and all that stuff. His personality is loud as ever, still the same thing. So, you know, we definitely anticipate him playing some games for us this season. But, you know, there's with these injuries ever, there's never any promises. But certainly everything's trending in that direction, no doubt.
All right, that's a little bit of good news that it is still trending that Kean Schaefer-Baker will be back for the Riders this season. But let's get to our bold prediction question, number two. It is McLeod Bethel-Thompson, that athlete, as Corey Mays. Two of probably the most athletic quarterbacks in the league going head-to-head.
I'd like to see a sprint between those two. A little scramble?
No.
Neither one of them is a scrambler.
I'm putting a bonus question in.
Oh, okay. Probably about running.
Mm-hmm. You are right, Darryl Davis.
Do I get a point for that?
McLeod Bethel-Thompson and Trevor Harris. Here is a little bit of a interesting history tidbit between these two quarterbacks. Before they came to the Canadian Football League, did you know that they were in a competition for the quarterback spot of the Sacramento Mountain Lions?
Mm.
Way back in the old Arena Football League days.
Wow.
Harris lost the job. He went to the Orlando Predators. McLeod Bethel-Thompson won that job. But... And here they are against each other in the Canadian Football League.
They've been around a while, those two.
Yeah.
A lot of different places. Love the game. You got to love the game to be in those many places.
Completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, interceptions for both quarterbacks. And then I'll get to the bonus question.
They're both pretty high completion guys, too. Oh, man. Trevor Harris, 78%.
78?
Wow. Completion, didn't you say?
Yeah.
He's always over 70.
Completion percentage?
He's always over 70, you guys.
Yeah.
Why?
78's high.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How many yards?
He's always in the 300. This is a tougher defense, so let's go 310.
Touchdowns?
One.
Interceptions?
Two.
McLeod Bethel-Thompson completion percentage?
70. Is that okay? You guys are with that?
70?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. 71. Let's go 71.
71 yards.
Also 310.
Touchdowns.
Also one.
Interceptions.
Also two.
Mm.
So the exact, and I'll get to the bonus question. Belton Johnson.
All right, let's start with Bethel Cloud there.
Okay.
67.7% completion.
67.7. Okay, how many yards?
Oh, boy. Knowing this, that Rider defense, I'm going to go, let's go 298.
Touchdowns?
Zero.
Interceptions?
One.
Completion percentage for Trevor Harris?
72.3%.
72.3. Yards?
I'm going to go 289.
Touchdowns?
One.
Interceptions?
One.
All right. McLeod Bethel-Thompson completion percentage. I will go 72. I'm going to have 250 yards passing for both quarterbacks. Two touchdowns for McLeod Bethel-Thompson. One interception. Completion percentage for Trevor Harris, 71. And then zero touchdowns, one interception. Bonus question, how many rushes combined will McLeod Bethel-Thompson, not yards, just how many rushes combined will McLeod Bethel-Thompson and Trevor Harris have in this game.
And you want yards?
Just combined rushes.
No, just rushes combined.
Three.
Three. Belton?
Two.
I thought these were athletic quarterbacks.
No, they're quarterbacks.
It might be zero, Jay.
Usually
I'll go
zero.
Four.
Even oh, you, jeez. Of course, yeah.
Okay. We shall see. Coming up next here on the Green Zone pregame show, we are going to get Britton Gray's player profile interview as well as around the CFL. And they're underway. They've resumed action in Edmonton with a 21-21 tie going to the fourth quarter with the Tiger Cats and the Elks. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Riders and the Alouettes are headed for action at Percival Molson Memorial Stadium. And we just found out from the Alouettes that Kabian Ento is a late scratch, as the cornerback was listed as a game-time decision there. So they have to go to one of their practice roster defensive backs to slide in for that spot, as they'll try to shift some things around for the Montreal Alouettes. So there's an update from Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray.
That changes a few things. Mm. Ento's had a pretty good season.
Good thing I picked Dante Myers to eat today. That helps. Okay, let's go to Britton Gray's player profile as he chatted with Jameer Thurman.
You recently passed 100 games. You're close to 500 career CFL tackles. Just what's it meant for you to kind of carve this career out in the CFL?
It's just consistency for me. Just trying to get better each and every year. I'm not really much of a stats guy. I don't really pay attention to that. I just try to impact the game as much as possible in every way possible. So, you know, tackles, I just playing for a long time and run to the ball. That's all I see for there.
What got you first involved in football? What was the kind of start your love of the game here?
My dad played, and he was a coach. So I was pretty much a water boy until I was able to play the game. So I grew up around it. All my uncles played, my brothers played. So I just pretty much was born on the football field, I guess.
What's that like having a dad as a coach, probably from 5 years old already getting?
Yeah, it's tough, but at the same time, you see things differently, and you're always looking for, you know, there's always something you can be better at, and even now to this day, I get a text after every game like what I could have done better to impact the game and different things like that. But there's the congratulations in the wording of it, but it's not really said.
So what first brought you to the CFL? How did that opportunity first come out in Calgary?
I was just after my pro day of everything. I didn't get signed in NFL, and Calgary called me up, and I came and right before camp and just showed up. So, you know, I was just blessed with that opportunity, and I just took advantage of it and made the most of it.
What do you remember of first coming up here? New league, new rules, kind of a rookie all over again.
The first thing I knew when I got in Canada, I thought the speed limit on the highway was 100 miles per hour. So I thought everybody up here drove super fast. I had no idea what a loonie or toonie was at all. I didn't even know where Calgary was. The only thing I knew was Edmonton, because a guy that went to my college, he won a Grey Cup in 2015 with them. So that's the only thing I knew about the CFL from that point. So it was an experience. And when I got to Calgary, learning about the new rules and different things like that, it took some getting used to. But, you know, here I am now. So
how big was it to have Corey Mace here that brought you eventually to Saskatchewan?
It was great. It was great. You know, I mean, I definitely he played a huge part in that. And, you know, just the relationship that we had, the trust, and the chemistry of, you know, being with each other for 4 years, you know, it just made a big, huge difference.
What's it like in here, too, after you guys really laid the foundation last year, kind of building the culture, to see it come to fruition now, 6-1 start so far?
Yeah, it's good, but we got a long way to go. You know, our record says one thing, you know, that, and that's good, but we know we can be a lot better than what we put on tape this year in all phases of the game, so we just got to keep building on that and finish.
What does it say about this team, though? You guys haven't played your best football in 60 minutes, but like I said, here you are, 6-1, and still room for improvement.
I mean, we found a way to win. A win is a win at the end of the day, no matter how it gets done. But, you know, great teams learn how to win convincingly, and that's something that we're trying to work on each week.
how do you kind of learn to do that? Is like, well, what's, how do you fix these things that's been happening?
Just can't let up. You can't let up. You can't let up. You have to put your foot on their neck and make sure they don't want to continue playing. You know, when you give teams hope, you give up a play here or there, they get a little confidence. We have to take away the confidence and make sure they never gain that back the rest of the game.
That is Jameer Thurman, over 100 games played, nearing 500 career tackles for the Rockets. Did you make that mistake going 100 miles an hour and seeing these speed limits when you came to Canada, Bell?
Yeah, Jamie, I saw that. I'm like, holy, they drive fast up here.
You've been on our highways. We can't drive that fast.
No, and you know, I'm driving. I'm like, why am I going faster than everybody? And then you learn about the kilometers and everything, because I think my truck, well, would have been miles per hour, but the inside of there, there's inside the kilometers, right? So, hey,
yeah, the American vehicles have the kilometers in lowercase.
Yes,
Canadians, it's flipped in Canada.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, hey,
I learned that lesson too, Belton. Do you know how I learned that lesson? I was driving a 19. My mom will correct me. 68 Beaumont, I think she had.
Yeah.
That was in miles an hour. I didn't even have kilometers an hour. I was 17.
Rolling.
Oh yeah. Out of Lumsden, Saskatchewan, going down the highway. My mom looks at me and goes, how fast are you going? 90? She's like, this is miles an hour. Whoops.
That's a funny story.
Hey, you learn, man.
So Jameer Thurman went through that.
You didn't know loonies or toonies. You didn't know what they were either.
Did not have a clue, Daryl. And, you know, is all the things you learn now, right? The Celsius, you know, inches, you know, all the conversions and everything. Yeah, it was a lot learned there the first couple of years here in Canada.
We're a whole new world up here, which is good in a lot of ways.
Let's go.
One good point that he made, we're not the only ones saying that they got to step on somebody's throat, right?
Yeah, they keep talking about it, though, Daryl. Show me some action, something. Man.
But they know the same thing. Yep. They realize that they got to finish stronger than they have, and it's not just us saying, hey, guys, you got to show us something. They realize that it's important for them to do it, too.
Agreed. All right, let's go around the CFL real quick. As we did have a delay in Edmonton earlier, it's 21-21. Cody Fajardo just ran the ball for a first down in Hamilton territory. Still about 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter in a 21-21 tie. But earlier this week, the Ottawa Red Blacks beat P.J. Walker and the Calgary Stampeders 31-11. P.J. Walker has some work to do to learn this game. That was ugly. Three interceptions, including a pick six, as Ottawa with the win.
See that one, Belton?
He started off pretty good there. You know, they were, what, the score was 3-0. I think he was, felt like 6 of 8 or something, 75 yards. I'm like, oh, okay, he's got something. And then after that, it was downhill from there.
Done a few plays and had them polished, but after that, he just looks so uncomfortable. There's so much for him to learn. We talk about learning the culture here. How about learning the football plays and how different it is, where they come from, and seeing it at practice is different than seeing it in a game.
Well, and I would say especially for a quarterback, right? You know, if he's used to down south, 11 and 12 guys, where did this guy come from? You know, like lots to learn, even the blitzes and everything, right? The waggle, the timing, lots for him to
His
learn.
His timing looked off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a long way to go. And they'll probably get Vernon Adams back next game. They need to. Otherwise, Calgary's not a not a challenger for the Grey Cup without Vernon Adams Jr.
As we continue here on the Green Zone, a pregame show.
Whoa.
The young American just learned a lesson in the Canadian Football League that the punter can return a kick, as the Elks punter got down the field and jumped on it, as the Elks will get the ball deep into Hamilton Tiger Cat territory. Cody Grace with a veteran CFL move. He duffed it and then got down the field.
It's another rule you got to learn, Jamie.
You can never spend too much time teaching those returners the nuances of Canadian Football League, the special teams games, right? So
Edmonton with a big, big play by their punter, Cody Grace. But Winnipeg beat the Toronto Argonauts 40-31 thanks to two punt return, kick return and punt return touchdowns. And Chris Streveler is 2-0 as a starter this year for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
He's not a real polished passer, is he?
But no.
They seem to like him, and he, you know that he gives it all that he's got. But those were two tremendous punt returns for Vaval, right? Trey Vaval. He's just, yeah.
Just when you think the Bombers are down.
We've thought of that before, haven't we?
They come roaring back out of nowhere.
Britton Gray has been saying for 3 years now that they're done.
No, they're not done yet.
Mm-mm. No, you're right. Just when you think, oh, let's read them last rights. Right? Here they are again. Wow.
Yep.
They'll find something to keep them going. They're well coached.
Britton? Yeah. You should talk to him about that Bombers win. And, of course,
that's why he's not here today.
We'll keep you up to date. He'll show up eventually.
Well, yeah, tail he's got pork sliders legs to try, so of course he'll be here.
There's around the CFL as we'll get to our roster check and our final bold prediction questions before the kickoff of the Riders and the Alouettes here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Sorry, got ahead of myself.
Not yet. We'll be here at postgame too, though.
Yes, we will have a postgame show, but not yet. The Riders and the Alouettes.
What was the score, Jamie?
About 20-18.
Okay, perfect.
But let's get to the roster check. Who's in and who is out for the Montreal Alouettes? Three receivers come off. Austin Mack, Daniel Aladejo, and Lincoln Victor are off on the roster. Alexander Hollins, Tyrone Lindsay will do the kick returning, and Canadian Hakeem Harris. Also, Sorel Hogan-Sandon, who they picked up from Ottawa this offseason. They have three backup offensive linemen. Three backup offensive linemen for the Montreal Alouettes. But as Malik Carney said, they do max protect more than any other team in the CFL. On defense, Sean Lemon has been added this week as the veteran Dylan Wynn to the defensive line as well. Linebacker in his second year, KD Davis, also enters the lineup as Corey Robertson, MJ Sherman, and Byron Vaughn's Al back onto the practice roster for the Alouettes. Unfortunately, Canadian linebacker Nate Boschman is now on the six-game injured list. For the Riders, Sam Emilis, a six-game knee injury for Sam Emilis.
Ouch, that hurts.
Mitch Pickton fills that roster spot. Peyton Collins and Zach Fry are healthy, so Darius Washington and Noah Zaire are off. Meanwhile, late Corte Moore, Aubrey Miller Jr., also on the six-game injured list with injuries suffered last week, so Aaron Patrick comes back on, and Kosi Onyeka takes the Canadian spot of late Corte Moore on the roster this week. Meanwhile, starting for Sam Emilis, that is Tommy Neal. Then I talked to him about this opportunity.
It means a lot, and I'm just excited for the opportunity. I said it the other day, but this is what you train for and practice for in the offseason, is getting these opportunities to play offense and get on the field and showcase the work you put in to your game, and you know, just having fun out there.
How important are the extra reps, even with Trevor, for him to tell you where he likes to put it, where how much work is going in behind the scenes to get and gear up?
Yeah, that's super important. Like, timing is everything when it comes to football and the pass game. So getting those extra reps with Trevor and the other quarterbacks, knowing how they like certain things ran, it makes a difference for sure when you're out there on the field. You're playing faster and you can trust each other. You know where you're going to be. He knows where I'm going to be, and I know where the ball's going to be.
How did it feel last week just to get back out there?
It felt great. Starting the season off with an injury and missing the first six games is never ideal, and it felt like forever. But getting back out there on the field, getting to play football again, it's always exciting.
What was it about Saskatchewan that drew you here?
When I think of the CFL, like, Saskatchewan is like the ultimate CFL place in terms of facility, fan base, and that, and just some of the familiarity with coaches. Coach Mace I had in Toronto, Coach Quay I was with in my university career, and I had known some guys here before. And in the off season, when I spoke to Coach Mace, like I said before, family was a big thing, and you can really feel it. Everyone is it's a great locker room here. Everyone gets along, plays together, and it's fun coming to work every day.
That is Tommy Neild. Meanwhile, I forgot to mention KB Anento, a late scratch. Corey Roberson Jr. Will take his spot as well. So
putting Tommy Neild on still surprises me. I know he's a newcomer. Mitch Picton's been pretty reliable. But when you look at the ages, Neild's, 26, and Picton's 30. So mm-hmm. Is this a long-term plan? If you had to really needed a guy, you're in a playoff game, who do you put on?
Well, Tommy Neild, when in camp, he was number four. It was Emelis, Kian Schaefer-Baker, Del Duncan Busby, and it was Tommy Neild who was next man up. So that's where they have him.
They decided that right in training camp.
And now that he's healthy, he's in front of Mitch Picton.
Wow.
Let's wrap up bold predictions with two more questions. Of course, our final score. But first, a couple of firsts. Tommy Neild gets his first start for the Riders.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Lemon is playing in his first game for the Alouettes. So with Tommy Neild, targets, catches, yards, and then we'll get to Sean Lemon. What do you think? I'll go first.
Okay.
Tommy Neild. I'm going to go. He's in the slot, though. Four targets, three catches for 28 yards. Belton?
Three. How many yards you got there, Jay?
28. 35. Daryl Davis.
That was exactly what you were going to say, Jamie, but I'll change the yards. I'll go four targets, three catches, and let's give him 30 yards.
30 yards. And for Sean Lemon in his first game, how many sacks and how many defensive plays? And, of course, sacks counts in a defensive play.
And you're counting special teams plays as defensive plays?
Yep, defensive plays. All of the above.
And the max he could do is 23? MRS.
Yes, okay. Unless someone gets hurt, then he can play more.
Six.
Six defensive plays?
Wow.
How many sacks?
Zero.
Zero.
I'm zero sacks, too.
Zero.
And I think two defensive plays.
Two defensive plays. I got one sack and three defensive plays. I almost want to say
his zero.
I want to say his one sack's going to be his first snap. I don't want to be the offensive tackle on his first snap of the game.
Let's find out what the over-under is.
Okay.
Oh, is that a bad joke?
Probably 0.5. But let's get to the final score. Who's winning? And what's the score? I've already made mine public. The Montreal Alouettes is my pick. 20-18. The final. Belton, I think you're going Riders, right?
I got the Riders. 22-17.
Couple of low-scoring games here, Daryl. Break the tie. Riders or Owls?
Montreal. 25-22.
That is looks like a close game from the panel today in Montreal with the Rough Riders. In Montreal, haven't won there since 2021. And they go up against McLeod Bethel Thompson. Of course, a kickoff on TSN coming up just past 5 o'clock. The Green Zone postgame show, as always, will begin right at the final whistle. A quick update on the Tiger Cats and the Edmonton Elks. It is the Tiger Cats just crossing midfield with a first down, but they are trailing. Edmonton's up 24-21, 4.5 minutes left, but the Tiger Cats have the ball in Edmonton territory after Cody Fajardo just threw a ball into the hands of Stavros Katsantonis, the safety of the Tabbies. All right, we'll talk to you on the Green Zone post-game show right after this Alouettes and Riders game. Enjoy the game, everybody, and we'll talk to you in about 3 hours. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.